Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. Whether or not you're a rail fan, you might have noticed some private rail cars attached to the end of a conventional train or even sitting on the tracks at the intermodal station in Milwaukee. Or you might even have had the chance to ride a specialty or tourist railroad. Generally, these railroad cars have had a journey. They've served their purpose, often been put out to pasture, before being purchased for modern use. So it might surprise you to learn that many of the train cars are rehabbed right here in Milwaukee at a company called Avalon Rail. The company's shop is at the end of a road in West Allis in an old Allis Chalmers facility. June Garland is the president of Avalon Rail, and she gave Lake Effect's Dan Harmon a tour of the facility.
So on the end here, this is where Union Pacific, which is the mainline Class 1 railroad that pushes cars and pulls them out. So our track here fits about five before we start lifting them off, or in various stages. You know, the ones that are usually closest to the door are leaving first. These have just arrived last week, so they haven't been pulled off the rail yet. The one in the enclosure here will be leaving, you know, like I said, within a couple of weeks. It's very hard to get a sense of what this place feels like because the ceilings are so high. I mean, on any given day, I walk in and go, what the heck is this place? And I, you know, we're grounded all the time, but it's a little intimidating with the size of the space and the size of the machines that we work on. Now this one, you can tell a little bit different. The logo on the other one with the gigantic lettering is now refined. Their lettering and logo is just at one end, but the same paint scheme. And it is kind of impressive to see this client's cars all together because they have the swoop that kind of undulates while you see the cars go by. Kind of cool.
How on earth did this come to you? I mean, are you a rail buff, or did you just see a niche in the market, or something like that? I mean, and are you the one that started this? Did you buy it?
I got interested in the industry because a professor that I knew at Madison generally gets the credit for getting me involved here, and knew my low threshold for boredom. So I was introduced to the industry by him. And once I got involved, realized that he was very right. I learned something every day. So worked in the industry, in the passenger rail industry, for about 8 years before I decided that I thought I could do it a little bit better. So 13 years ago, started Avalon Rail, and never looked back, just moving forward.
You just make it sound so nonchalant, but I'm just sitting here thinking, wow, that's a huge thing to do. Start a rail car rehab company, that's just touching the surface of what you do, but... And looking at the space, it's huge. So how did you go about getting started? Did you start somewhere smaller, or is this the space that you started in?
Well, finding a space in Milwaukee was a little bit challenging, I guess, for our particular needs. But we've been here for 13 years, so have never had another location, although we're looking at a possible satellite location to accommodate some of the growth we've experienced. But I guess, you know, in the beginning, it's kind of a good thing to be naive. And being kind of a driven person who grew up in a family business, you just look for ways of getting through it. And had I known everything that was going to happen back then that has happened now, maybe it would be different. But I have the luxury of not knowing all that. So it was easy, I guess, in some sense.
Can you just give our listeners an idea of what it is that you do here? I mean, I've driven here twice and I've seen it's always passenger rail cars. So is that the bulk of what you do, is rehab? Redesign perhaps the interiors of rail cars?
Yes, the area of expertise that we've really found our niche to be in is rebuild, although we're looking at outfitting new shells. That would be kind of a new area for us. So we'll deal with anything that's passenger rail related. Any car that does move people, did move people, we will deal with. So all the parts, turnkey, anything that's involved in that end of the industry.
How big is this market? I mean, I think when I emailed you, I described it as a niche market, which I realized later could just be really insulting because it might be much bigger than that. But would you consider it a niche market? And how big is this market? I mean, to most of us, passenger is just Amtrak and there's nothing else.
Well, I think you're doing well if you even know there's Amtrak. But I think, you know, the market's big enough, obviously. I think it's probably bigger than people would realize only because it's kind of a hidden industry. The only time people pay attention to trains is when they're held up by a freight train. So passenger rail is kind of hidden because they travel on freight trains for the most part. So freight lines, that is. So the industry spans quite a gamut of clients, though. So we've got private owners, and we've got museum restoration kind of projects, and those can be either static display or rolling stock. And then we deal with a regular rolling stock that is commuter rail and excursion lines and the like. And there's a lot of business there. I think there's potential for even more, though, because the industry has been so saturated by people wanting new build when rebuild is really the same technology. And when people see what we can do with old cars and they look like new with all the new technologies that can go into the systems and they're a fraction of the cost, I think there's probably even room for more growth. So hopefully it's bigger.
What is the design goal generally? Is it, do clients come with an exterior renovation and interior is an afterthought, or can it be the reverse, or is it the full package, I guess?
Gosh, there's no typical for anyone showing up with a particular scope here. So anything from an annual inspection, which, you know, involves some doing, so you can't just do it on a track side necessarily, some you can, to full rebuilds, which is what we really prefer. It's a lot larger scope, more chance to really focus in on what a client's long-term goals are. But we'll do anything, you know, in between. I guess typical is hard. So, I mean, I guess I'd like to think that typical is a full rebuild. For us lately, that's what it is. But sometimes people come in and the difficulty in having a limited scope when you start is that once something really looks good, the adjacent parts then become an issue. So the aesthetic for people a lot of times is if you fix one area, if we have a lounge that we're rebuilding, now all of a sudden the kitchen and the bedrooms and everything else that's adjacent to that doesn't look as new and fresh, and that becomes the next part of the scope. So there is no typical.
Do you have designers on staff? Or, I mean, I'm not sure if people bring cars in wanting them to be restored to their original historic status, or if people are open to doing something completely new. It's their rail car. They can do whatever they want. So maybe what's the divide there?
All right. Again, people are kind of all over the place with what they want. When it comes to a historic restoration, usually it's a pretty specific scope coming from the museum. And so they have a directive that the car either goes back to original, at least aesthetically. So I guess that's a good distinction to make for people, because aesthetics are one thing. Technique is another. And so if we hand paint everything, that clearly is more labor intensive and it will cost more than if we spray something the way we do now, which is a lot more efficient and cost effective. So it really is up to the client as far as what they want for an aesthetic in the end. You know, the mechanics, if something is rolling stock, is pretty clean cut. And then it's only dependent on where you need to travel. So if you are traveling on Amtrak, you have a lot of regulatory requirements that you have to fulfill. If you're not, then you need to tell me what you'd like.
Well, do clients come to you with plans and ideas, or an or there, plans or ideas, or, I mean, and do you have designers on staff that will address these issues?
Well, I'm the designer on staff, so that's another hat that I wear here, but a lot of times clients do come in with their own designer. The learning curve is a little steep in this industry, so, you know, the concepts can be translated, but it's about how we arrive at the end goal. So a lot of times the attachment methods are going to be very different than someone is used to. There's a lot of movement with rail cars, so you've got to address all those things, as well as safety. So if you've got the general public that you're carrying, all those design considerations have to be mechanically sound for strength and everything else. So we're happy to work with other people that come in, but we can also provide that service and guidance.
I mean, when I first was reading about Avalon Rail, I saw the private rail car, and that is it's probably the most fun part, I would imagine, to just have a blank slate and a private owner who, so, and maybe even it happens, they say, well, dazzle me and design something for me. I don't know. Does that happen, or is it always the case that they have something very specific in mind?
I don't find that a lot of private owners have a lot of leeway for me to play with. They're pretty strong people, and they know what they like. So there's usually a pretty specific directive there. I guess the place that I found a little more leeway is with Class 1 railroads, and when they look to have something that's impressive for their clients and their executives, they're not sure what they want, but they want it to look upscale. And so to translate that, you know, I'll give them some input, and we have good suggestions as far as what we can do with the car, and usually let us run with that.
How many people work here, and what's their skill level? I mean, I don't know why I was surprised to see it, but there's a, like, it's a basically a machine shop, and there's painters, and there's people who have all, obviously, all kinds of special skills. So I guess break that down for us.
Yeah. Our work staff can vary from mid-teens to high 20s, maybe even low 30s as far as staff on the floor. Then we've got the management and office staff that support all that. So maybe we're, you know, at maximum, maybe around 40. I don't think we're there at the moment, but it depends on the client and the project. And as far as disciplines for what people do, we've got anything from fabricators, welders, carmen, to painters, interior cabinetry and finish work. From start to finish, you have to kind of cover your bases a little bit. So between the electrical work, plumbing, all the mechanical systems kind of stuff, we've got that covered. The things that we wouldn't handle in-house are some of the end finish products. Like, we won't install carpet. We won't do upholstery work. It's not regular enough for us, but we have very good suppliers and subcontractors that we work with.
You said you've been at this location for 13 years, which, of course, in the middle of that is a huge recession, and we're still in it, basically, maybe not technically. Is this an industry that it's such a niche market that it is sort of immune from at least the really sharp edges of a economic downturn, or is it just completely tied to it, like a lot of design fields?
It's one of the first questions I always had from bankers as to what economic trends we could follow. We don't follow a lot of them. But I think through the recession, just like anybody else, we're working harder in different ways and wearing more hats than we'd ever did before. So we've accommodated what has needed to be there. We've been fortunate to be busy through it, though. So through the recession, we have kept people employed and gone through a little bit of growth. So we're very fortunate to say that. I think it's safe to say that we're busy and not ashamed to say it, like when we were in the recession and worried about other people that were struggling. So it's a good place to be.
And as we're walking around, we're talking about the space, and we'll put some photos of the space, because it's really amazing looking when you walk in. I don't know, I was kind of blown away by just the big the scale of the building and the height of the ceilings, and it's kind of what people would think of about when they hear factory. But you said it might be too small. So does that mean you're going to look for something bigger?
I think ideally we'd like to have a location downtown, because it would make it easier for us to do maintenance from the trains right off of the depot area down by Amtrak. So we're looking into that. The volume of space here, I think, you know, is what's really overwhelming, in that our ceilings are 60 to 80 feet high. And we don't need all that height, but we happen to be in an old Alice Chalmers facility that just has it. So we have 60,000 square feet, and we need all that square footage and then some. But I'm not sure I need all the height. In fact, if my office were higher, where it was a little warmer during the winter, I might enjoy that. So I think with a satellite location at some point, we'll probably look for a little more modest ceiling height.
Well, June Garland, congratulations on the successful business right here in Milwaukee. Some people don't even know it's here, so I think it's really interesting. So thank you for coming on Lake Effect.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
June Garland is owner and president of Milwaukee's Avalon Rail, a company that rehabs old train cars for modern use. She spoke with Dan Harmon from the company's facility in West Allis. You can find pictures of the facility and more information at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. That is Monday's edition of the program. I'm Mitch Teich. So great to have you listening today. I sure hope you'll be with us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for another edition of Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. We're NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned. Fresh Air is coming your way next. It's 11 o'clock.